Following is an unrehearsed interview with Mr. Eugene Siler Sr. by Debbie Wilson for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at the office of Mr. Siler in Williamsburg, Kentucky on August 11, 1978 at 11:15 a.m. The first thing I want to start with, Mr. Siler, is just some personal background. Now, what is your full name?
You want to start off? Yeah. My full name is Eugene Siler.
Well, now, where were you born?
I was born in Williamsburg, Kentucky.
When were you born?
June 26, 1900.
Who were your parents?
My parents were Adam Troy Siler, and my mother was Minnie Chandler Siler.
Well, now, where were your parents from?
My mother was from Campbellsville, Taylor County, Kentucky, and my father was a native of this county.
Where were you educated?
I was educated in Cumberland College and University of Kentucky and Columbia University in New York City.
Now, what is your occupation?
I'm a lawyer.
Well, now, what offices have you held in the past?
I've been a judge of the Court of Appeals of Kentucky and also a United States congressman over a period of 10 years.
Who are you married to?
My wife was Lowell Jones.
And do you have children?
4 children.
Are they still here in Whitley County?
They're all married, moved away.
Well, now, the first thing I want to start with is just a little bit of background on Whitley County and some of the things that you know about it. Do you know when the county was established as a county?
It was established in 1818 and was cut off from Knox County, the parent county, in that year.
Well, now, for whom was the county named?
It was named for William Whitley, who was an Indian fighter whose well-known home is up near Crab Orchard, Kentucky. And Williamsburg originally was known as Whitley Courthouse, but later on it was called Williamsburg, William being in honor also of William Whitley.
Now, do you have any idea who some of the early families to the area were?
Well, the Cox family was one of the original families, and in fact, the town of Williamsburg was cut off from part of his farm. And the Faulkner family was an old family here, and the Henry King family, and the Siler family, and the Lawson family. These are some of the old families of the county.
Well, now, have your parents or grandparents ever told you any stories about how things were here in the county in earlier years?
I've talked to them back when I was a boy, and my grandmother related about how deers ran around over the farm where she was raised, and she caught one by the leg one time and held it till somebody would come to her assistance. And I've talked to my grandparents about the weaving of cloth out of cotton, and about their habits of milking the cows and churning the milk and the butter. And of course they lived a rather primitive life back when I was a boy. They had coal oil lamps instead of electricity, and nobody had a car. And the first car that came to Williamsburg was, back when I was a boy, was a Ford car. And it was owned by Dr. Archer, a dentist here in town.
Well, now, in your grandparents' time, was this still the day that they had to provide everything for themselves? You mentioned that they made the butter and
yes,
things.
And transportation was very limited, and of course, people raised their own gardens and crops, and they had potatoes and onions and beans and staple crops, and also they would sometimes kill a beef and the hogs. The hog killing in the fall was an annual ceremony that they followed. They smoked the hams and hung them up in the smokehouse and so they could have hams during the winter. And my grandmother had a cellar in which she kept her butter and milk. That was the coolest place they could find. It had no ice. And back when I was young, I heard my grandmother talk about trading butter and eggs and chickens in the town of Jellicoe, which was 3 miles from where she lived. And she would trade these products of the farm for shoes and suspenders for the boys and articles of clothing. And she would, they would buy, of course, things like salt and sugar and things of that sort that they couldn't raise. But mostly they raised everything they ate. And they put it away in the cellars and took care of it in smokehouses and stored the corn in the cribs. So they lived a hard life and a rather rough life, but it was a happy life, I would say.
Now, you mentioned Jellicoe. Now, that's in Tennessee, isn't that correct?
That's correct, but the edge of it is in Kentucky. It's in both Tennessee and Kentucky. Most of it's in Tennessee.
Well, now, has there been a close relationship here between, we'll say, the people here in Whitley County in Kentucky and people over in Tennessee? I mean, are there...
Quite a close relationship because of this proximity. Jellicoe, the railroad was 12 miles from Williamsburg, and families like Mahans and Ellisons and Silers were prevalent in both counties. And some of the leading businessmen and professional men of Jellicoe were from Whitley County families. One time I had four uncles that lived in Jellicoe.
You mentioned the railroad. Now, when did it come in here to Williamsburg?
It came in here to Williamsburg, as I recall, the date is 1883, I think. And then the first bank was established downstairs of Bank Williamsburg in 1883 or 1884. Cumberland College was started in 1889.
Now, what has been the effect of this Cumberland College here on Williamsburg?
Well, it's been a considerable influence, and hundreds of teachers have been educated here in Cumberland College, and also other people, business and professional people, have been educated here, and they've always had a high standard of scholarship.
Well, now, who started this school here in this
It was
community?
Started by the Baptist people. They recognized the need for higher education in the day in which we had not even high school back in the days when Cumberland College was first started. I don't think they had any high schools in the county, but they did have higher education through subscription schools, which the pupils would pay in tuition and the teacher would teach them term to term.
Now, did Cumberland start as just the four-year college that it is now,
no,
or how did
it start?
It started
originally as, I think, a three-year college, which is something you never hear of anymore. Later on, it got to be a two-year college, which is a junior college. And then from that came a four-year college back about 1963, I think.
Well, now, does the college contribute financially to the community? Does it bring in outside students and this type of thing?
The college didn't have much they could contribute back in those early days. Giving to Cumberland College was very sacrificial back when it started. Dr. Gatlin, who became a rather wealthy man, he, I think, gave originally something like $25,000. And then through somebody's influence, they got a grant from Rockefeller's, who was a Baptist, and who contributed some here to start school. So they really sacrificed, and two or three of the prominent original business people here gave all they had. At the time when they passed away in their wills, they left everything they had to the college. One of these was John W. Siler, who started the bank downstairs, Bank Williamsburg, and he had no children, and so he willed everything he had to the college, which is about $50,000, but it was a pretty good sum back in those days. And then Mr. Mr. James Mahan also had no children. He willed all his property to his wife for her lifetime, then to come to college. So these things all collectively made a pretty good start for the school.
Well, now, I understand that the present president at Cumberland, Dr. Boswell, has been there a number of years.
Yeah.
But do you know of any of the earlier leaders at the college?
Yes, there were several professors who were rather outstanding, and although their names weren't widely known, but they were outstanding teachers and did a wonderful job in teaching. One of these early teachers was Miss Amelia Packard, a cultured lady from Brooklyn, New York, who came down here because her brother was here. And Packard, Kentucky, a mining town here, was named for her. She taught here for about 35 years until she died. And another well-known teacher was Professor E.E. Wood, who was the president of the school back in the 1890s and on up through the early part of the 20th century. And another one was Professor Gorman Jones. Both of these men were Phi Beta Kappas. And another one was Professor Fitzgerald, who was a Phi Beta Kappa. And another one was Professor P.R. Jones, who came down from Ohio, expecting to stay here for one school term and stayed 60 years the rest of his life teaching here. So these are very, very capable teachers who spent their lives here.
Now, what does this community offer that draws all these outsiders into the area?
I think it was, to some extent, it was a matter of being sorry for us down here. They came from Ohio, which is a commercialized, industrialized state and much more advanced than we were down here. And they came down here and saw the cows on the street and no sidewalks. And I think they realized that there was a great need for advancement and development.
Well, you mentioned the cows on the streets and no sidewalk. Just what was the town of Early Williams? How was the town of Early Williamsburg? How would you describe it?
Well, primitive, that would be my description for it. It probably wasn't any more primitive than some other towns like Barville and Harlem and London and places of that kind, but it was a primitive sort of a community back in those days. I can recall when cows were pastured on the streets and sometimes you didn't have any cars, but you'd have to get them out of your way to walk down the street sometimes. In the early days, it had no electricity, and people used oil lamps. And so that is the state of the town back in early days. One of the early industries here was Kentucky Lumber Company, which was a pretty good industry. I think they employed in the lumber yards and in the mills about 75 men, which is pretty good. They paid a very low wage in those days, about $1.50 a day, but of course the cost of living was very low too.
Well, what had been some of the other important industries here in the area?
Well, I'd say coal mining was the most productive of any of the other industries that we've had. Small industries come and go. We had a knitting mill here one time that ran for a few years and ran out. And then we had a canning factory here, which failed financially. And a few small things of that sort. But, the coal business was the greatest productive of labor. And produced more money, more income than anything else.
Well, now, what do the people in Whitley County do now for a living?
Well, we've succeeded in getting quite a few industries here, like we have the Keller Corporation here, which is, they make plastic things. And then we have Roper Corporation, and we have Enterprise Plastics. Those are all small, but they're very good for the county and the town. And up at Corbin, as you doubtless know, they have American Greeting Cards, which employs over 1,000 people. And they have two or three other small National Cash Registers, one which probably employs about 200. So those things have been built up here. And as the railroad industry went out, changed their locomotion from steam locomotives to diesels, and the factory eliminated the shops in Corbin. And so they had to develop something there to take place. For that reason, American Greeting Cards was promoted, and National Cash Register, and some of those, Standard Bank, a few others. So they have a pretty well industrialized town, in spite of the fact that the railroad industry there has almost gone out. One time they employed, I think, 1,500 in the shops up there. Now I imagine the shop force is less than 300.
Now, has this county ever had a problem with people, you know, having to leave and go to other areas for work?
Yeah, oh yes, there's been quite an out-migration over the years. People going to Detroit, Cincinnati, and Dayton, and large cities up there. And they come in back here. As often as they get back, they seem to have a yearning for the old home county and the old hometown. This Sunday, they're having what they call the Moses Family Reunion. And by the way, that's one of the old families here. They have a reunion on Wolf Creek, which is the old place where most of them came from. They come back here from places of the north, and they have a big family reunion celebration this coming Sunday, 13th. And I'm going.
Are you a Moses?
I tell them I'm a Moses once a year.
Oh, okay. Well, now, in Williamsburg here, like you mentioned, the school, what other things added to the community? Like, do you have a hospital here in Williamsburg?
Not a hospital. I had a clinic that was starting here, but the standards are so strict to maintain these clinics that they just finally had closed up and go out of business. So it's just a doctor's office now. The hospital, Corbin, you know, is very active and a very good hospital. One run, as you know, is a good hospital. People go, and there's one in Jellicoe that's operated by Seventh-day Adventists, I believe.
Well, now, it's my understanding that Williamsburg is the county seat.
Right.
Well, now, which is the larger town, Corbin or Williamsburg?
Corbin is larger.
Well, now, what's the relationship of Williamsburg and Corbin? Are you like competitive cities?
This competition is mostly between the athletic teams. And they usually whip us up there because they got a much bigger school. But I would say there's not much business competition. And we intermingle with them. I spoke up at Corbin yesterday at the Civic Club up there, and frequently I speak on different occasions up there. And we got a very friendly relationship, I'd say, between Corbin and Williamsburg.
Well, it's just maybe try to boost the whole county, is that?
Yeah. That's, in fact, I subscribe to the Corbin Industrial Fund up there every year. Oh, I don't live up there, but I feel it's good for the whole county. We have a county fair here, Williamsburg, every year. It's just mostly of farmers that couple of days in which they bring in produce and cattle and so on, and award blue ribbons and red ribbons, things of that sort.
Now, what does this town of Williamsburg, is there anything special that is that, you know, unique things about Williamsburg that it has to offer?
Special and distinguished from mm-hmm. other places? Well, I don't, in the early days, 40 or 50 years ago, people would always point to Williamsburg and say that it was the richest town in Kentucky for its size. This never was true, but people would say it, you know. In other words, I think at one time they said it had about 23 millionaires. This was never true. I think they did have as many as 3 millionaires at one time. But because of the coal business and the development of the coal business, they've had some well-to-do families here, well-to-do people.
Is there still any coal industry here in Whitley County?
Stripping, mostly. There's no, so far as I know, there's no deep mine here where the men go underground and dig out the coal. But it used to be a big industry. And places like Wilton, which is near Corbin, and Mountain Ash, and Packard, and Gatlet, and Proctor, and Bon Jocko, and these have all gone out. They've all faded out. There's nothing there now except for remnants of communities.
Did you ever have the actual mining camp towns? Now, is that what these areas were?
Yeah, we had the mining towns. Gatlet was one, Packard was one. Gatlet one time had a population of 1,500. Now it has a sort of a remnant population of maybe 25 people. Packard, which was the birthplace of the actress Patricia Neal, as you know, she was born there, raised there, and her home is gone, and everything's gone. Packard, you can't, nothing's there except the bats and the hoot owls in Packard. And Proctor is a farm owned by a few families. Very, very beautiful valley, but no industry there, of course, no coal industry. Mountain Ash is a community with the remnants of the people there, maybe 100 people live around there, where there used to be at least 500.
Do you know anything about life in these coal camps? Did you ever live in a
No, I never did. I worked one summer in Bon Jellico. Got to know quite a few of the men and liked the people. And some of them are still around here, and they have a reunion every year. And I usually go.
Well, now, do you know anything about their life? I mean, you know, the song, like the Tennessee Ernie sings, you know, the 16 tons and all that.
And you're
sold to the company store and things. Did they have the company stores in these towns?
Yes, they had company stores and commissaries, they called them, you know. And you get a square meal for 15 cents, a dime for cheese and crackers, and a dime for pop, and or a nickel for pop, I guess. And their prices were high compared to big stores in the towns, you know. But the rents were always, I think, very reasonable. Certainly compared to rents nowadays, they were very reasonable. They had, it seems like they had a rather happy life among them, but they had hardships too.
Now, what type of things other than homes would the coal companies provide for their people? You know, any services?
They always had a doctor, and they cut so much out of wages to pay the doctor. They furnished that, but the miners had to pay for it out of the cut in their wages. They had the doctor, and they had the commissary where they'd buy things, and they had the house rent and electricity. And they would haul coal from their own mines to burn, you know, to heat the houses and cook with. And they provide some recreation, like baseball. Gatlet used to have a good baseball team. Packard had a good team. And I can recall they had a brass band in Packard and one Gatlet. And so that was sort of a recreational program about all they had. They would have box suppers sometimes. Sell, I don't know what they did with the money, but they'd sell the boxes and raise some money. Probably use it for the schools. You know.
Now, did they provide schools in the coal camps?
Yeah, they were public schools, but they were fairly good, about like the rural schools nowadays, I guess.
Were there ever any mining disasters here in this county?
There was never one of major proportions. They had, you probably have heard of the Jellicoe explosion, which was a time when a car of dynamite and nitroglycerin exploded down just almost on the border line between Jellicoe and Tennessee and Jellicoe, Kentucky. And I believe 15 people were killed in that, and 100 or 2 injured. And the town was quite a while getting over that. It was quite a major disaster. And I remember my aunt, who lived on the Kentucky side, telling about how a piece of steel railing came somehow up on the hill where she lived and went through the wall pretty close to where she was standing. So that was quite a disaster. I guess you read about the recent fire down at Jellicoe and the Jenkins Hotel. 7 people burned to death. They were people of old age, pensioners mostly, but 7 of them died down there.
And you mentioned,
since the first year.
You mentioned Jellicoe, Tennessee, and Jellicoe, Kentucky. Is it actually called part of it, Jellicoe, Kentucky? I'd never heard that before.
It used to be, yes. It used to be Jellicoe, Tennessee. It was, of course, the major part of the whole community was Jellicoe, Tennessee, and then over on the spilled over into Kentucky. And they, for a time, several years, they were incorporated as a fifth-class city over there. Had a mayor and a policeman and all. But they no longer incorporated over there, and it's in the way of incorporated cities over on the Tennessee side. Used to have a lot of violence down there around the county line, killings and trouble of one kind or another. You've probably heard of the author John Fox Jr., who's a famous author of a lot of books. He came down there proctor. He was basically a mining engineer. He came down there and stayed, 6 months, maybe a year. And he wrote one of his short stories with a background of Jellicoe. I think it was Cumberland Vendetta, maybe, is one of those shorter stories that he wrote. And the basis of it was down there at Proctor.
So if you were sending a letter, you would send it to Jellicoe, Kentucky, if it was on this side of it?
You'd send it to Jellicoe, Tennessee, and because it's all the same postal service, same zip code. The famous Grand Opera singer, you know, was Jellicoe, Grace Moore. You heard of Grace Moore? Killed in an airplane accident, burned up over in Belgium, I think. She was raised in Jellicoe. Her father was a merchant down there, wholesale merchant, Moore Dry Goods Company. And they were a prominent family down there. Grace was a beautiful girl, kind of strong-willed, you know. Circus came to town, she was on top of the elephant's head.
Pardon me just a minute, I got to turn the table. The following is side 2 of an interview with Mr. Eugene Siler, Sr. Now, Mr. Siler, before I turn the tape over, you were speaking about Grace Moore and the elephant come to town on the circus.
Yeah. Of course, another famous actress that came from Whitley County, born and raised in Whitley County at Packard, you know, was Patricia Neal. And she was kin to me. Her grandmother was a Siler. And her father was an office worker in the coal company's office down there. Coop Neal, they called him. And her grandfather, whose name was Petrie, Dr. Petrie, was the mining camp physician, Dr. Petrie. And he married a Siler, Flora Siler, who was my kindred. And we had one vice admiral who came from Whitley County. And he graduated in Annapolis and retired and has been dead several years. He was my father's first cousin. he was an illegitimate child. His father was John W. Siler, who was this banker that started this bank, and he always acknowledged his son, Charlie, who was illegitimate. He remembered him in his will. He was proud of him, but he was illegitimate. Very personal fellow. Very intelligent man. And we come back to town here, everybody just faded him, you know. He was a social lion. He came back here. Everybody wanted to entertain him, Charlie Blakely, because he's a big man. But he came up under those circumstances, adverse circumstances.
Who have been some of the other outstanding citizens?
Well, let's see.
Now you should include yourself in your congressman.
There were three congressmen, only three in the history of this county who came from this county. One was Judge Finley, who served 4 years in Congress, and then his son, Charlie Finley, who served 3 years in Congress. And I served 10 years in Congress. These are the three congressmen who came from here. And we had one former governor two former governors that went to school here. One of them was Edwin P. Mara, who really lived in Somerset, but he went to school here, this Cumming College back in its early days. And then Burke Combs went to school here. So, and those two, and I suppose that Dr. Gabbert was the wealthiest man that ever lived here. He operated coal mines and had two towns named after him, Gabbert, Kentucky, in this county, and Gabbert, Tennessee. And he developed, I would say, four or five coal mines. One was High Splint Coal Company up in Harlem. Maybe you've heard of High Splint. He developed that. So he was a very prominent man in the way of finance.
Now, what about your son?
He is the United States judge. He is the only United States judge that ever came from this area down here. Never had a United States judge from Laurel County. Never had one from Whitby County. Never had one from Knox County. They've all been from up in other parts of the state. Judge Swanford came from Cynthiana, and Judge they all came from northeastern Kentucky or other places. They never had one before in this southeastern Kentucky area. Judge Cochran came from Maysville. He was one of the judges. Judge Ford came from Georgetown. So this is a good honor to be a federal judge. Really, I guess it's more of an honor to be a congressman. At least it pays a little better money.
Now, you mentioned Patricia Neal. It's my understanding that she is an Academy Award winner.
Right.
Now, has she ever returned back here?
Oh, yes. Been there several times. And she's told me about a number of pictures. I think she told me that Hood, I believe, is the one she got the award on, wasn't it? Hood?
I don't remember.
Sure. Seems to me like she told me that was her favorite vehicle, as they call it. But yes, she's been here several times. And she has an aunt who lives here. Mrs. Maud Mahan is her aunt, and she lives here. She's up in years, and she's in a nursing home now. But she comes back to see her Aunt Maud every year or so. And you have to have some kind of a dinner and invite people in, you know, to see her. We attended. She said, just what is the relationship between you and me? I said, I'm your cousin. She had another cousin here who was a section foreman, a good man. His name is Petrie. He stood in the receiving line, the receiver, when she came down. He was proud of her, of course, and I think she was proud of him, too. She was so proud of her people here. She became a very famous actress.
I was quite surprised to find out that she was from Whitley County. I used to see her in some older pictures on TV. And
she's very adaptable to meet, you know. She's very sociable.
Well, are there any other outstanding citizens from the area that you'd like to mention?
Well, there was another one that I don't guess you'd see is too outstanding, but he wrote, used to write short stories, which got into publications. His name is Grover Cleveland Kidwell, and he wrote several stories that were published in publications like Saturday Evening Post, I think some of them of that sort. And are you familiar with the sports writer Tom Siler? That's the Knoxville News Sentinel. He's my first cousin. And he is the sports editor over there and has been for a number of years. He's written, I think, about 3 books on sports, I guess. One of them is about the Volunteers. That's the name of the University of Tennessee. And he's written one book on them. He's written a couple of others. So I guess you'd say he's pretty well known. And of course, we claim Colonel Sanders is one of our own, you know, because he got his start in Corbin, and he's always proud of coming from down in here. Good man to meet. He's really a nice fellow. I was speaking yesterday in Corbin before the Rotary Club, and I read from his book, Finger Licking Good is the name of his book, you know. It's a very interesting, very readable book. And he tells in those in that book about his early days in Corbin and his connection to the Rotary Club and so on. And of course he's a multimillionaire and he's internationally famous. But we sort of claim him here too, you know, because Corbin is part of this county.
Well, now, was he born in Whitley County or just?
No, he came from Indiana and had a hard life back in his early days. And started out as a railroad fireman, farming and all that sort of thing, and got into the restaurant business sort of accidentally and became famous.
Does he ever visit Whitley County?
Once in a while, yeah. We had one of these walk-a-thons, you know, where he walked so many miles to raise money. And he was in on that. That's been about 2 or 3 years ago.
Does he have any family left in the area?
His former wife is living in Corbin, and I talked to her one day, and she said, well, she thought a lot of Colonel Sanders. She sent her money every year. So although they got a divorce, I think it's sort of an amicable arrangement between them. He married again, married a woman that had worked for him a long time. And you ought to get that little book of his and read it. You'd enjoy it. Finger Licking Good. It's read it. You don't want to put it down. Read all night. That's about the only ones I can remember.
Sounds like quite a list. Had an outstanding county here with all these.
Well, yeah, I think it is, really. It's not never has been a very highly industrialized county, but a lot of good people, a lot of achievers, you know. And good achievers. My daddy was raised on a very thin soil farm up on in the holler, and worked hard and had 9 children in the family, and he became a country school teacher and then became the county superintendent of schools. They used to elect him, you know, not by board, but by all the voters. So he was elected twice and came to town, became a lawyer, and became president of the bank here, served 35 years president of the bank. So he had a hard life, but he was a very successful man. I appreciate it.
Well, now, is there anything you'd like to say, you know, to add about Whitley County and its history? Maybe any outstanding events that have happened in the county?
Really, I guess that's about all I can remember.
Well, I'd like to thank you for taking this time out to share this with me.
It's my pleasure.